In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Father, dear sisters, dear faithful, a few words regarding the beautiful feast of yesterday, February 2nd, this feast that we call Candlemas, because of the candles that are blessed at the Mass and distributed. What's striking is that there is a particular rubric attached to the blessing of these candles, candles which remind us so clearly of the candle that each of us received on the day of our baptism, a candle which was lit at the Paschal candle, knowing that our symbolizing that our soul was dead by sin, original sin, but has risen. The Paschal candle, therefore, has risen to a new life, a life of grace, with this light of the world shining in it. Yes, a certain connection then between the candles of Candlemas and the candle of our baptism. But what Candlemas makes clear, what the rubric makes clear, is that this flame is not meant for us alone. Our baptism is not only about our saving, my soul. The rubric that's attached to Candlemas is that those candles cannot be blessed unless they're distributed and a procession follows. Unless those candles are going to be brought out into the world, unless those candles are going to be lit and carried out for all to see, they are not to be blessed. That's the rubric of the church. When it comes to the St. Blaise blessing of candles, the priest can bless those in the sacristy. We can bless at different times during the day, in public or private, as many candles as we need to be able to bless throats. But not so with the Candlemas candles. Those must be lit and must be made visible to the world around us. Because precisely sanctification, the light and the life of God in our soul, this sanctifying grace, is not there just for us as an individual. It's true that we need it in order to save our soul. But it wasn't given to us just for our own sake. It's meant to radiate its light to the world. It's meant to be passed on. Somehow that inspiration of a Catholic life passed on to other souls. Just like yesterday, the first candle was lit and then it was passed from one to another. That light of sanctifying grace is meant to be guarded carefully. Just as in a procession, there's a wind, there's a breeze. You have to guard the flame or it will go out. And it's the same with sanctifying grace in the soul. If we don't guard it, if we don't care enough, we will lose it. It will be extinguished. Whereas if we protect it, nothing on earth can take it from us. Nothing on earth can take sanctifying grace from us. Once we have it, it remains there as a stable state of grace forever unless we let down our guard. If we give it up, then we lose it, but otherwise it's always there. Our Lord is in the boat, and he will not leave us unless we drive him out. What can be said then of a soul in the state of sanctifying grace? A soul in the state of sanctifying grace already does so much good for everyone around him. Just being and living in the state of grace already does so much good for your family, for your friends, for the church. You're like a living monstrance that walks day and night in the world carrying Christ to that world. Like a living, walking monstrance that brings our Lord into a fallen world. And what can be said of a soul that loses the state of grace? A soul that loses the state of grace is little better than a living corpse. The body's alive, but the soul is dead. We would be better off with both our hands and both our feet cut off than to live without sanctifying grace. Because sanctifying grace is what allows us, enables us to hold on to our Lord. Sanctifying grace is what moves us from place to place. It gives us life and movement in the supernatural world. Just as our feet move us from place to place, we would be better off without our hands and our feet for the rest of our lives than without sanctifying grace. And do we value it for what it is? Or do we take unnecessary risks? It's not rare, or perhaps not at least as rare as one might think, even within the Catholic world, for souls to go days, weeks, months, maybe even years, without sanctifying grace. Deprived of that greatest gift. The greatest gift that Adam and Eve received in the garden was sanctifying grace. That means it was a greater gift than impassibility, immortality. Imagine if it was offered to you that you would never have to suffer again. You would never die. How we would accept that gift. Sanctifying grace is worth more than that. We have to, therefore, guard this flame. And we have to pass it on. We have to have that flame burning inside so hot that we can pass it to soul after soul without diminishing at all ourselves. Of course, sometimes this is difficult. What do we do if the souls around us don't want that flame? Sometimes we want so badly to communicate the Catholic life to our family, to our friends, to a loved one who has fallen away, and yet they seem to refuse. They don't want it. What do we do then? We guard that flame. We keep it burning so that when one day they're ready, we still have it to give. And yet sometimes we are tempted to discouragement. Sometimes we allow, and God will allow storms sometimes to arise around us. He'll allow temptations to come so that we have to really make an effort to guard that flame and to get it burning hotter. But there are times where we create the storm. Sometimes we want so badly to give what we have that when the person around us, the person we love, does not accept, sometimes we grow bitter. Sometimes we grow cold. Sometimes we lose confidence. We lose faith. And we lose the flame. The very flame that we wish to give to them, we can lose ourselves if we allow a bitterness to come in. Why did our Lord rebuke the apostles when they woke him up on the ship and asked for help? He did not rebuke them because they asked for help. They needed help. He rebuked them because they were anxious, because they were agitated. It's not wrong to run to our Lord in temptation. Quite the contrary, to run to him in difficult times, in a crisis of our soul or a crisis of our family or a crisis of the church. It's not wrong to run to him and ask for help. We need to do that. But it's wrong to lose our peace. Why? Because we hold within our soul the infinite. We hold within our soul the omnipotent. Why are we afraid? Why were the apostles afraid? Because when they, from the time they followed our Lord into that boat, they had heard him preach. He was in his element teaching, the great teacher. And then he led them into the boat. And they thought, now we're at home. This is our world. This is the world we know. The sea is our, we're comfortable there. And they took the helm And they led the they took the ship out to sea, and it seems so strong. You look at those boats; they seem sometimes they're so strong and so peaceful when it's peaceful around them. But when the storm begins to rage, and the waves roll across the deck, then they felt how inadequate they were, and that trust that they had placed in themselves. They realize we're going to go under. We're not going to make it unless we turn to our Lord. And that will sometimes be the way with the soul. When the storm rages and the temptations come, what do? We stop relying on ourselves and we look towards our Lord. We look to the light. We look to Him, He who lives within our soul. What do we do when there are trials, personal trials or family trials or a crisis in the church? What do? We put all of our energy on guarding this flame. We go to our Lord. We say we go as close as we can. We feed that flame. We pray. We do spiritual reading. When there's a moment of crisis, we don't run around trying to bail water. We go to our Lord, and He will calm the sea. The storm will pass if we go to Him. And so let us look to our Lord with great confidence. Let us pray for a greater confidence than the apostles. True strength is when there's a storm raging outside, but there's still peace within. The peace that only Christ can give. And we've all known people like that who in the midst of great difficulties, everyone else is agitated, but they're calm. It shows a strength of soul. Of course, in this case, the strength that we need is not our own. It's the strength of our Lord. Let us pray then for this strength, for this confidence in Him. If we're in the state of grace, let us guard that state of grace. If we've lost the state of grace, let us return to it. Let us spread our faith and this life of God as far and wide as we can, because who knows, but that the soul that is inspired by us today might be the very soul that needs to lift us up tomorrow. Let us turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary then, who was always and ever so careful to guard, to draw close to, and to pass on the light of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.